Thank you. This is David Lewis, and this is the Institute of Biblical Eschatology. This is the third in our series of studies on the mystery of iniquity, or the secret power of lawlessness, the conspiracy of anarchy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, various translations. We have been talking about the secret order of the Illuminati and whether or not it has a valid existence in our times. If you have not kept up with this series of broadcasts, I know that this is going to intrigue you today, and you're going to want to get either the tape recording with the four messages on the Illuminati and the secret power of lawlessness, the conspiracy of anarchy, or you'll want to get the book that has the information. We have both available for you. We'll mention this later on in the broadcast today. In his book, Secrets Known Only to the Inner Elites, Lyndon H. LaRouche Jr., who is himself a Marxist, espouses another of the multiple conspiracy theories. Quote, through three millennia of recorded history to date centered around the Mediterranean, the civilized world has been run by two bitterly opposed elites. The one associated with the faction of Socrates and Plato, the other with the faction of Aristotle. During these thousands of years until the developments of 1784 to 1818 in Europe, both factions' inner elites maintain an unbroken continuity of organization and knowledge. End of quotation. A rare book, The Secret Destiny of America, written by Manly Palmer Hall, reveals his view of the conspiracy, but not as an evil thing. To him, the conspiracy is good, and it represents the salvation of mankind. We will examine yet one more modern conspiracy expose, this one by Kenneth DeCourcy, publisher of the London-based Intelligence Digest. DeCourcy reports, quote, our investigations disclose a diversified group which has worldwide links. This group seems to believe that it is strong enough that it can afford to use communism without the danger that the communists will in consequence eliminate it. Over the years, this group has enlisted disgruntled intellectuals, those with a grudge against the old order of society, those in financial need, and those with vices. The organization has bought up large interests in powerful publishing concerns, in the film industry, in financial houses, and other institutions. It has devoted immense attention to detail so that it now controls vital things in every sphere. The objective of this group is to achieve absolute power, and communism has been used simply as a weapon to destroy the old order which stood in the way. Indeed, those who financed Lenin and Trotsky were not, of course, communists. Far from it. This force, which we can only call X, because of its secret nature, is closely coordinated. It is of one mind. It is in control of immense resources. It is convinced, passionate, efficient, and deadly. It fears only one thing, and that is public opinion. It tries to control this and to stop anyone from arousing it. The head of this organization looks to be about 40 years of age. He speaks a large number of languages. He is very musical and very handsome. His intellectual attainments are of the highest order. His charm is very great. He has been observed by our agents in Moscow and Peking. His visits to Rome are very frequent. He influences a larger output of the printed word than any other single person in the world. His purpose in life? To dominate the world. He loathes Dr. Billy Graham with an intensity extraordinary to watch. He has been present at some of Dr. Graham's meetings and has tried to infiltrate the Graham organization, not very successfully. End of quotation. DeCourcy does not identify his Mr. X, man of mystery and power. Part of the reports in the Intelligence Digest are coded with initials. No one has yet figured out, to my knowledge, who he's talking about. And DeCourcy isn't talking to anyone about it further. I have heard Willard Cantillon, a reputable author who has written the book The Day the Dollar Dies, speak very highly of his confidence in and his personal acquaintance with Mr. DeCourcy. I have tried to correspond with Mr. DeCourcy, but he does not answer the mail. Willard Cantillon spoke on national television of being personally acquainted with DeCourcy. He spoke highly of the man. Cantillon briefly mentions the Illuminati conspiracy in his book. DeCourcy's report came to my attention through quotations in other publications a number of years ago. I was not, however, satisfied until I was able to find the copies of the Intelligence Digest, which we located at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., and satisfied ourselves that the quotations from the original source were accurate. Ezekiel 22:25 says, "There is a conspiracy." Now, of course, you'll have to take that in the light of its own context. We're taking it slightly out of its context. But there have always been human conspiracies. There are so many contradictory attempts to trace an actual organizational descent of the Illuminati that it is incorrect to speak of the conspiracy theory. One must speak of conspiracy theories. This does not mean that there is not a truth in the idea that there is a worldwide conspiratorial organization. There is one system of interpreting world events that will not confuse you, and that is Bible prophecy. The Bible is always accurate in its predictions. It never fails. Theories rise and fall, but God's word stands firm. His truth is marching on. The word of the Almighty tells its readers that it is going to be in the last days that we're living in that these great conspiracies will come to their culmination. The Bible mentions the word conspiracy over 30 times, for example, in Jeremiah 11, verse 9. "And the Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem." That was, of course, centuries before Jesus lived upon the earth. There have always been men of evil counsel who have conspired to rule over their fellow men. Today it is no different. And as Christians realize that we're approaching the last days and the time when the beast will rule this planet for a short season, it is not surprising that there are many evil forces working to prepare the way of the coming of the man of sin. But the author of the plot to enslave humanity is Satan, not man. He uses men of diverse talents and positions that will yield to him. There is no way that people or insignificant individuals could make war with these powerful politicians or super-rich capitalists, even if we knew for sure who was in league with the devil. And we can sometimes spot those who are the servants of Satan. The only way Christians can truly wage war effectively against the devil and his serpents and thus cripple the devil's diabolical schemes for the oppression of the church and God's people is to wrestle against Satan in the spirit and to bind the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just suppose that you could actually identify the man who is the leader of the world conspiracy. What would we do about it? Would we kill him? That's not the Christian way. We need to identify the real enemy, for we wrestle not, Paul says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. The enemy of the church is not political in its source. The enemy of the church may use political forces, but he is a spiritual entity. It is the devil who is the true enemy. People who use an emphasis like that of John Todd are actually giving the devil more than his due. They're ascribing too much power, too great an efficiency to Satan. It almost seems like some people's devil is bigger than their God. Jesus tells us that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:18. Do you believe that? He spoke those words to only 12 men. When two or three agree on anything in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says it shall be done. It does not take even a majority of Christians to put the devil to flight. A few dedicated persons can covenant together to bind Satan. Of course, when more get awakened to this ministry of Holy Spirit world liberation, the more effective it will be on the widest possible scale. The Gideon principle still holds good today. Gideon sent 31,700 soldiers home and won the battle with only 300 troops and the help of God. This does not imply that Christians will ever put the devil completely out of business. It's Jesus Christ himself that will bind Satan in the abyss for eternity. But we can surely deal him some heavy blows in this now season, and it is possible that we can maintain the freedom of the church in the end of this age through intercessory prayer and through our good works in cooperating with the plan of God. John Todd says, quote, "There can be no revival but Satan's revival," end of quotation. I'm amazed that there are so many evangelical, Pentecostal, and charismatic and fundamentalist followers of John Todd. We have absolutely proven that John Todd's claims are fraudulent. Now he says some true things, but the things he says about the Illuminati are things that he learned out of books, just like the rest of us have studied this conspiracy theory. Todd's program is to prepare for war with witches and those controlled by the Illuminati by buying guns and bullets. Now, some people may wish to have a gun to protect their home. I won't tell you what to do about that. That's a matter of your own decision and conscience. But Christians should not confuse anything of this nature with the commission that Jesus has given to the church. We should be ready to live or die for Jesus. Now, Todd and his followers are willing to live in Hebrews 11, the first part of the chapter, in the area where great victories are wrought and the sword is wielded, but they shun the possibility of Hebrews 11, 35 through 40. And that tells about those who wandered destitute, they were persecuted, tormented, and some were martyred. Now, nobody wants to die, but Christians should not be afraid to die for the Lord. Now, we're not going to seek to die, but if we are called to be martyrs, then God give us the strength to take our stand for you. John Todd's program is not practical, even if it's carried out in the most efficient way possible. The kind of retreats he describes that people should go to could not hold out against a determined invading force. And suppose Todd did succeed. All he's done is to get a lot of people killed and maybe keep a few of his followers alive. But on the other hand, suppose Christians could get a worldwide band of people involved in intercessory prayer movements such as the Holy Spirit World Liberation or Intercessors for America. Then convinced and concerned believers could affect world events in the last days. Do you believe that? I do. We could prevent the revolutionary and anarchist forces of Satan's followers from fulfilling the darkest dreams of the prophets of doom. Don't forget this. Regardless of how accurate Todd's view of the Illuminati may be, regardless of how fraudulent his claims of personal involvement, there is a real struggle going on. Don't be confused on that. And Satan would like to bring oppression on the church in the last days. Well, our time is gone for today. We'll conclude the subject of the Illuminati and the world conspiracy and the mystery of iniquity tomorrow. Until then, this is David Lewis saying goodbye. God richly bless you.